Welcome to this episode of Ad Agency Live. Now, before we actually get into this episode, I just wanted to personally thank you for taking the time to come check us out. We really appreciate our listeners. You guys mean the world to us, and you are the reason why we are creating this content. And I would also like to invite you to come check out ProfitableAds.com. That is actually our agency. So what we do is we help businesses such as yourself cut acquisition costs by up to 50%, meaning you can get people into your business using paid advertising for half the price. Now, you can't just pay us to do this work for you. We actually have what's called a partner program. And if you have an active business that is making money and you would like to cut your cost per acquisition and use online advertising to leverage for your business, I highly recommend that you come check us out at profitableads.com/apply or just profitableads.com and click the apply button. And I look forward to talking to you soon. Now, enjoy this episode of Ad Agency Live. Thanks. Welcome, fellow marketer, to Ad Agency Live with Zach Radford. And today, we're going to learn another amazing marketing tactic grow your business. Let's get into it. Hey, how's it going, guys? Zach here with another episode of Ad Agency Live. Now, I have an extremely special guest for you today, Carmine Mastropiero, aka the Copywriting Fox. Now, he has written for some of the biggest brands that you've definitely heard of, GQ Magazine, Neil Patel, Postmates, and many, many others. I happen to know Carmine on a personal level. We're in the same mastermind, and he is a copywriting genius. So I wanted to invite him on here and kind of pick his brain and share that with you guys. Carmine, welcome, brother.
Thanks for having me on the show, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing absolutely wonderful today, man. I always start with all my guests. So tell me how you got started in this crazy digital world, man. Like, what's your backstory? What does that look like?
Sure. So, yeah, I'd say that entrepreneurship just runs in my blood, and like a lot of entrepreneurs can relate to, it just goes back to childhood, man. I was just always interested in business, even though like at a young age, you can't even define what business is. Like, you just like hustling and doing things and, you know, interacting with people. So I would say, you know, I was doing like lemonade stands. I was trading cards or selling trading cards. I was hustling at my family's garage sales. Nice. I was always interested in like making money, you know, doing stuff like that. And then I think even more importantly, I was just always really good with computers and the internet. And at a young age, I definitely knew how to use the computer better than my parents. So that was a big thing that plays like well into how I ended up getting into business and just started an internet company. But, you know, by the time I was 9, I was teaching myself how to do Photoshop. By the time I was 10, I was programming, just constantly teaching myself different skills. And in love with learning. I think that's a big thing, because probably like the same with you and a lot of people is that just a lot of skills learned is just myself. So that too started at a young age.
Definitely. So basically you're selling anything you get your hands on, you find the internet, and then it's like this aha moment, or what does that look like? Do you just kind of play around for a couple of years, or do you jump right in and start trying to figure it out?
Yeah, so I would say just like I kept on teaching myself different skills. And then when I was a teenager, came across some forums like Black Hat World and Wicked Fire, Digital Point, all the good ones, man. Everyone's been on there.
And we were talking about that. You know, I was the exact same way, man. I was in there and I was like, this is a whole new world. trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I don't know like anyone in internet marketing that wasn't on those forums at some point. Like everyone starts there. And you just want to learn how to make money. And that's what happened. Like, I was a teenager. I was good with computers. I liked business. And then it just made me realize it's a real thing. Like, there's people on the internet making 5-6 figures and on through these little internet businesses or, like, whatever they're doing. Yes. And I was reading case studies. And it really inspired me. But at that age, I still felt almost a little too young to get into it, even though there were people doing it.
What age were you at that point?
I was probably, like, 14 or 15.
Definitely. Yeah.
So I was, like, in the middle of high school and, like,
yeah.
But it still seemed like like some people were doing it, but I don't know, to me, it just didn't seem 100% possible. So I was starting to dabble in like freelance graphics design, web design, just for like friends and family. I was learning how to build WordPress websites. I was blogging. And then by the end of high school, about, I'd say I was like 17, 18, that's when I was freelance writing a bit more seriously and starting to launch some little affiliate businesses to make passive income. And that was like one of my main ways I started to really get into making money online was affiliate marketing and freelance writing.
Definitely. So to touch on your affiliate businesses, you mentioned to me before we started filming that they were health related products. So like CPA offers and they were big payouts. Like, was it like 45 to 100 bucks per lead?
Yeah, it would be like 50 to 100 US just, you know, for one conversion, one lead or like whatever it was, pay per sale. But I'd build little websites just with content, SEO. And it's so interesting that like how I began in marketing and in business is like kind of like how it's still going on today. Like all the skills I learned, I use, and it's just like this foundation you build. But
definitely 100%. I was at, to kind of speak to that, I was at Funnel Hacks Live last year.
Make some passive income through, you know, affiliate offer.
Yeah, definitely. To kind of speak to that a little bit, like the different skill sets that you acquire over time. I was at Funnel Hacking Live and Russell Brunson was doing this big presentation and he's talking about, you know, you can do
it. Say that again?
So I was at Funnel Hacking Live just to speak to like the skills, how they accumulate over time. I was at Funnel Hacking Live and essentially Russell Brunson is doing his big presentation and he's like, you can either hire somebody to do it or you can be like me and do it backwards where you like learn step by step by step by step and it takes 7 years. And I'm sitting in the audience and I'm like, dude, that's me. I do it the hard way. So very similar to your progression of skills, right? It's like, you're not sure where to go. You're trying a bunch of different things. You're like, you're doing the SEO, you're doing the websites, you're doing all these things. And it just builds into who you are today. No, I think that's awesome, man. So.
Yeah, I know. It builds from a young age. And then like when you just look back at the entire process, you realize it was all meant to be. Like everything good, right? Everything bad. Everything you learned, like it all compounds into something. And then for me, after kind of getting into affiliate marketing and freelance writing, I got into college where I was studying business. And at that point, my affiliate businesses and freelance writing was enough to make me like a decent living to like get by through school. And that was really cool. Like just to make a living online, even a little bit, was like super exciting, man. Like making your first dollar online, let alone even like a decent amount is so fun. And it's just so rewarding. And then when I graduated school and I finished, I actually started to get a lot into e-commerce.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I think you were telling me about this. Go on. Tell us about the e-commerce. Because I did a little bit of e-commerce myself. I love e-commerce. I run ads for e-commerce companies now. You know, I absolutely love e-commerce.
Right.
So what were you guys doing?
Yeah, but, you know, so pretty much like just in general, I've dabbled in like so many different business models just to figure out what's right for me. So I started, I think it was around like 2000, probably like 14, 2015, I started to get into like AliExpress drop shipping and I was doing like men's clothing, different things like that. And it was in the early days, like it was just starting to get a bit of attention. So you could actually make pretty good money. Like it wasn't like super saturated like it is now. I don't even think like Oberlo was around or any of those big apps and companies. So it was pretty undersaturated and I'd make pretty good money. It was probably the most money I made at the time through the internet. And then I ended up also getting into, as I learned about just wholesaling and e-commerce, connecting with actual wholesalers and learning about just real logistics and like, you know, 3PL companies and actually how to move products around. So I connected with this wholesaler out of California and he was doing handmade dress shoes. So then I ended up launching this little shoe company. And then within 1 month, it got featured in GQ. I got to write all my copy. So that was super exciting. And it was just funny how to write the copy and then leverage that as a portfolio piece later. And then after like a few years, it was a lot of fun. But at the same time, I knew deep down it wasn't really for me. And on the side, I was still doing like some freelancing. I was doing the writing, web design. And truthfully, I really enjoyed that more. Like I realized the service industry is for me. And as much as, you know, the money was good in e-commerce, I knew I just had to kind of put that to the back burner and go towards what I enjoy the most. So then it was around like 2016 or so. That's when I started going full time on my agency.
That's beautiful, man. And how was that transition for you? Like you're going from running an e-commerce, which is like a totally different hat then running a service-based business because you have clients and everything associated with that. How was that transition period? Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting because with the e-commerce companies, you know, you're essentially just dealing with customers like on a one-on-one basis, like just how you would deal with a client. But I found for some reason you get just a lot more feedback and like potential like negative feedback and like just attitudes from customers for some reason, like when they're buying a product versus yes. when you're doing client work. If with a good onboarding process, you can really vet who you're working with, and then you only work with people that are fun and inspiring, etc. So it has a lot of similarities, but I really like the client work better because you build a real relationship too, because you're helping them grow business, like not just sell a product, and you get to actually get to know them on a deeper level. And once again, with like a good onboarding process, you just mm-hmm. only work with people you really want to work with. That's big.
I love it. I'm going to butcher it, but I just read a quote the other day from Simon Sinek, and he said, you don't want to work with clients that just have money who can afford to pay you. You want to work with people that align with your ideals. And
yeah, exactly.
That's so true, because there's lots of money out there, and you can work. I work with a lot of clients who have a lot of money that just does not necessarily pan out for us. But if you get somebody on the same wavelength, you know, you guys get each other, you understand yourselves, business can go really, really well. So I can speak to that as well, man. So
yeah, it's definitely be on the same page, like in every way, like values, morals, because then you both do business the same way.
Yes.
And then a really big thing too is like just understanding the actual service. Like I've definitely had clients who probably couldn't even like define what copywriting is or like what content marketing is. So they can't even like really appreciate a good result or the effort you're putting in versus someone that does and they love your work and they're, you know, they're super motivating, they give you good feedback. So that's a big part, man. Definitely vetting your clients.
Definitely. Cause there's nothing worse than you're doing like all this work for someone and they just don't understand. And I have one of my largest clients who's no longer with us because that was it. They did not see what was actually being done. And I explained to them 1,000 times what retargeting was, and they just did not get it. Like they couldn't, like, they're like, no, those are already our customers. And I was like, okay, yeah. Anyways, it's all good. And, but that was again, a misalignment. And we've talked about this in great length. It's definitely key to understand who you're serving and that you relate to them on multiple levels. So that's cool, man. That's quite the journey. Literally, just getting into the internet, trying to figure your way out, and then having success in one area, then to pivot into something that was more passion-based for you and stuff that you enjoyed. Good on you, man. Not a lot of people will find something that works, and then they just double down on that. And the next thing you know, 5-10 years from now, they're unhappy with their life and their business, even though they're making money.
Exactly.
I see that.
That's why I always recommend people just, if you're going to get into business, just try out a bunch of different things, like offer different services, try out different business models. Because you never know what you're actually going to enjoy the most until you just try everything, and then you can double down. And that's like where I feel like I'm today. And a lot of my friends that are entrepreneurs, they all went through the same experience. I think it's just necessary for the journey, to be honest. You got to try everything.
Yeah, for sure. Because how do you know you're like, if you feel like you're on the right thing, how do you know unless you've tried the opposite, right? You need to have,
exactly.
It's like Baskin Robbins, man. You got to try all the flavors until you find one you actually like.
You know, they say you don't know what you don't know. So
100%, man, 100%. So now you're really focused in on copywriting. And let me ask you, what is copywriting to you and how important is it for businesses?
Right. So I would define copywriting as the science and the psychology behind writing business material that achieves a certain goal. So that can be sales, leads, website traffic. Those would be like the three big like KPIs and metrics.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's important because I was actually just speaking with a client and he was reading this book called How to Create a Story Brand. And he showed me this section. He's a copywriting client of mine. And it's great because we're on the same wavelength. And he showed me this page where it says you can have the greatest funnel, the greatest website. And that's great. You know, it's going to push people towards the sale. But copy is what makes people buy. You know, copywriting is just simply emotion. It's understanding the customer's pain points, their struggles, their primal desires. Like that's what's actually going to make people buy something, not having the prettiest website and the prettiest landing page. And we were speaking about before the podcast, this, you know, kind of sales letter writing you're doing.
Yes.
And there's a reason why when you go see these like amazing sales letters from the biggest affiliates, they look like they're from like the 90s. It's like these really crappy, like just simple, ugly looking landing pages. And it's because they work. So, you know, simple sells right now, but it's the writing that sells.
Definitely. And when we were talking about that, and it's because it takes more effort to read a page than it does to watch a video or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So if somebody actually reads it and it conveys the messaging and everything that they want, there's a good chance that they'll take action.
Exactly. Yeah.
Definitely, man. I absolutely love it. So do you find that, like, how do you get copy to stand out in 2019 and going on to 2020? There's so many businesses. There's so many messages being hit to us all day, every day. How do we kind of stand out in that noise?
Yeah, I think it's something like we see 2,000 ads per day subconsciously. I was reading. There's a stat like that. So we're just bombarded with ads, and you know that there's millions of blogs at this point. There's no shortage of content and copy on the internet. So yeah, standing out is really hard. There's a bit of a bottleneck, I think, that's really easy to hit. Where even if you're an amazing writer, it almost just looks like everything else on the internet. And there's actually a quote I love from Seth Godin, which is, how do I make something different and meaningful? And this is something like anytime I start a project, anytime I'm writing content for like my own website, an affiliate website, is the first question I ask myself, just how can I make something different and meaningful? And
I absolutely love it.
Right. And, you know, because the thing is, if you look at a lot of the big publications out there, like Neil Patel, Backlinko, specifically, I'm talking digital marketing, just because like that's our kind of niche.
Yes.
But great content, amazing content, but it all kind of looks the same. It all uses this very similar long form, data driven, SEO focused template. And it's great. It works. It gets them leads. It improves the internet. It helps people. And everyone's using that kind of approach because it just works, you know? So like, I can't blame them, and even I do to an extent.
Yep.
But, you know, some easy ways to still stand out and just cut through the static right now. Number one would be showcasing your personality, because even if your content looks like everything else, nobody is you but you. If you can find a way to mix that into content and copy, and of course you gotta align it with, you know, your brand, if it's your client's brand and the target audience, but I think one of the best things you can do is just like mention personal stories, go on little tangents if you can, talk about your own experiences, even if it's like really small. For everyone listening, Zach and I were at a mastermind. It was like, a few weeks ago at this point?
Yes. Was it 3 weeks ago? I think 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago. And you were mentioning this client you had where I think it was like $17,000 in ad spend, and you generated, what, $1 million for them?
So that's the one client I just mentioned. So I think we did 3. What are we at? We're at like $3.5 million and $19,000 in ad spend. And he pulled out because he didn't understand it.
Oh, he's probably scared. He's like, these numbers don't make sense.
Yeah, well, because he was saying that he already had these existing clients. Anyway, is that all?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll spare you the details, but it was like the best campaign I've ever seen. It was like I was drooling. How crazy was it for me?
Zach told me that story, and then when I was actually doing some auditing of my website's content and SEO, I ended up mentioning that little story in one of my blog posts. I think it was like a Facebook ad copywriting tutorial or something like that. I just went on this little tangent. I was like, oh yeah, like my friend Zach at Profitable Ads, like he did this case study. Like I just mentioned it, and it's just a one little way to make the content stand out. Like nobody is you. Nobody has your friends.
Like that mention.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. Like it's all about empowering people and connecting. But that's one way that you can always stand out is just use your personality, your stories. Nobody has that but you.
Yes.
And then the second way is pretty similar. And like when I'm doing website content for me or my clients, I'm obviously going to go look at like the first page of Google and just see what everyone else is doing to gauge what Google likes. But what you'll notice is like maybe if you Google, you know, best SEO tools, everyone has these roundups, and like you don't even have to the content to know they're going to mention Moz, Ahrefs, SEMrush. Like you already know what they're going to say.
Yeah.
So I think one of the best ways to stand out right now is if you're doing any kind of content, especially like a list article, is go and mention tools that no one else is mentioning. Don't mention Ubersuggest and all these things. And they're great. I use them every day. But try to find tools that are lesser known, because then once again, it's just a small little detail that instantly makes you stand out. So whatever you're doing in terms of roundups, whatever kind of copy or content, go look at the competitors and just do something a little bit different. Because then when the reader lands on your page, they're seeing something new and they think, wow, this is like a different kind of writing style. This is like a different writer. And they're probably going to be really attracted to your content moving forward.
100%. And it shows that you've thought about things, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not a cookie cutter listicle that you see absolutely everywhere.
And the thing is too, like the third way you can stand out right now is using like your own formulas and templates, as we were talking about.
Yes.
Because there's some big ones, like in copywriting, there's like pain, agitate, solve, like mentioning a pain point, agitating it and saying, hey, I have a solution, whether it's my information or product. Everyone uses attention, interest, desire, action. There's all these like general formulas right now, which work. And I use them too, to an extent. But I think a really cool thing to do is just brainstorm your own formulas, because if you know how to write content and copy, you understand the fundamental techniques and what makes your customers tick. So actually just go and make your own little template, because you know the content might not be super different from your competitors, but the layout and actually how it's presented will be. And customers, even though that's like really subtle, they'll notice it. And once again, it's just all about standing out in these little ways right now, because they all add up. But I'd say that's like the three big ways in general you can stand out with your copy.
Dude, that's epic. So guys, if you're listening to this, like standing out is key. Like number one, what are we doing on the internet? Like what do we do with marketing when sales need attention? As soon as if we can get their attention, those are great ways to actually harness getting people's attention and standing out. So it's funny that you mentioned like using your own style and framework, because the way that I write copy just over time has morphed into its own thing. And a lot of, I'm going into a new business and a new area that's kind of the self-help area. And essentially I looked at what's out there. Everybody has a video. I'm just kicking it old school. I'm being different. And because I want to attract that person that's going to spend that 10, 15 minutes on my site to read the content, to get the overall arcing idea, so then they can join and purchase. So I'm with you 100%. Standing out, being different is key. And a lot of the times it's almost uncomfortable, because it's like it's different, but everybody else is doing this. But man, the results can definitely do well. I noticed that with a lot of my marketing. So all the ads that we run for our clients, we look at what everybody's doing in the marketplace, and we say that exact same question. How can we make this different? How do we stand out? Because that's what's important.
Exactly. Just like Seth Godin said, just how do I make something different and meaningful? If you ask yourself that anytime you're writing, trust me, it's gonna turn out nice.
Yeah, man, that's definitely beautiful. So do you have like a framework that we can give these guys, our listeners, to write better content? Now, I know you practically did that in the last one there. So because if they're going to come up with their own copy and stand out, do you build off somebody's existing copy, or how do you work, or what type of framework would you recommend?
Yeah, I think definitely you need to learn from the best. Like that's one thing I've done, is I've read David Ogilvy's books, Claude Hopkins, all the big advertisers and copywriters. Like you need to learn from them to understand copywriting psychology, the science once again, and all the fundamentals. And then what you do and what I've done is just kind of created my own formula and process based on that. So in terms of how I actually write copy, I do have like a very replicatable process that I use every time, because I believe that it's all about, of course, and it's all about just time management and workflow. Like if you can save hours on a project, like why not? And it just takes planning. So that's why, and I wish I would have learned this early on, because I didn't do it for years. And the first step is always writing an outline for your content and copy. So it doesn't matter if it's a small blog post, you're doing like a 10,000 word sales letter, you need to make some kind of outline for yourself or your client. So this can literally be as simple as just writing a bunch of bullet points as like everything you want to write about, or going a bit more in depth, like writing an intro, a conclusion, fleshing out the major points, fleshing out the sub points, collecting references and resources you're going to use in your content. And the whole reason you want to do that is like when you actually go to write, you're not just sitting there thinking like, what do I write about? And you know, that's a thing I'll talk about later, which is writer's block. And I used to hit it all the time, is I wasn't planning out my content. And I really wish I would have learned that from day one, because a few minutes can literally save you a few hours. The ROI is insane. And everyone I've ever kind of pitched this idea to and they've done it, they always come back and tell me like, Carm, this is amazing. Like, I can't believe I wasn't doing this. And I love sharing it. But that's definitely the first step, is just outline your copy. And kind of similarly is make sure you're just collecting as much resources as possible. So if it's a client project, I always ask my client, like, do they have content guidelines? Do they have a buyer persona they can share with me? Like any kind of like internal documents that just allow me to understand their business, their product as much as possible. I also like to go get market reports, look at competitor reviews, And overall, just you want to collect all these resources to just understand your industry or the client's industry, the customer, the product, just down to a science. And that's going to help you write better.
Absolutely love it, man.
And then essentially, once you've researched and you have that nice outline, you can essentially begin writing at that point. And one big thing to think about is that, I can't remember the exact side, but like your left hemisphere and the right hemisphere of your brain do very different things. And I might be wrong here, but I believe it's the right side that actually deals with creativity and emotion and things like that. And then the left side is analytical. So the problem is if you're writing and you keep trying to edit on the go and you take it really slow, you're too analytical. Copy is emotional. You always have to remember copy is emotional. So that's why you actually want to write. And I learned this from, I believe it was Robert Bly, one of the greatest copywriters. He said that you want to write copy as fast as possible. Like you just want to zoom through it because you're going to use the right side of your brain. And it's also like super rewarding because you get so much more work done. So it's like this like instant satisfaction. Like you're not sitting there and you've written like 100 words in an hour. You've written like 1,000. And it needs some work, but it's just like a super like gratifying thing.
Dude, and I use the exact same, just to speak to that. I literally will just write, and then I'll read back. I'm like, this doesn't even make sense at some point. Yes. But then at least you have the body of it, right?
That's it. And I'm happy you said that, is it probably won't make sense. And that's why the next stage is editing. Yeah. And when you actually edit it, what you want to do is rearrange your copy. You might find that maybe a certain point didn't make sense to put first, so now you put it second. You can rearrange also for something that we call logical flow. So you're obviously probably not going to talk about pricing first before you've even introduced the product. So there's going to be a flow of like questions and just logic you need to rearrange your copy for. So make sure that every point, everything you're presenting makes sense. In the sense, is the customer thinking that? Are they like going to have that question first, that objection first? And overall, just remove any unneeded copy, fix all your little grammar mistakes, spelling mistakes. And then pretty much once it's all edited and cleaned up, I'd pretty much hand it in to my client and just get any kind of revisions and ideas. And then we'd clean it all up, get it done. And it'd be good to publish at that point. But that'd be the overall process, would just be outline it, make sure you research, you're organized, write it as fast as possible, edit it after, get your revisions, and your workflow will improve 10x. I guarantee it.
Dude, I absolutely love that. I use that exact method for pretty much everything in my life. By the way, I'm getting organized. I make my plan and then I just kind of steep myself in it and then I try to get it done as fast as possible. And then I look at what I've done and I go back and I edit. And that is fantastic. And at least all the listeners somewhere to start. Because and from that, your own style can come too, right? It's not like, I love that outline because there's, if you look at a lot of people who teach copywriting, they're saying like, you have to do this. That kind of gives you the freedom to become and understand who you are. And I absolutely love about getting the buyer persona and stuff from the client, because it's how important is it to write in that client's perspective and their voice and try to get that across? That's obviously very important, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, man, I absolutely love it. So now we have a set framework. We know how to stand out from the crowd. Okay. We've got a set framework. What is one of the single biggest problems that people will face with creating new copy, and kind of how can we solve this for them? Is that writer's block?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's why I mentioned it earlier, is the number one is writer's block. You know, if you're writing thousands of words a day or whatever it is, like you're going to get stumped at certain points. So once again, just going back to the outline, like I cannot talk about how important that is. Like I went for years without outlining and researching my content first. And like, you're just going to stare there at this white screen, you know, and you have no ideas.
Blink.
Yeah, the little blinky thing. Minutes just to write out, you know, the major points, and then you can just go and write it, you know, every time you're writing, you know the next step, and it's just amazing. Now outside of that, it isn't really related to like writing and business, but I really think that you need to like take a break and spend your time healthy outside of writing. I think exercising, eating good, meditating, reading, spending time with friends and family, that's all really good. And actually, if you read a lot of the big books by all the big copywriters, they say like you need to sleep on your copy. You need to write it and you need to go take a break, go for a walk.
Definitely.
Because it's interesting. I remember learning that it's kind of strange. You would think the opposite, but the longer you focus on something, the less mental resources your brain puts toward it. So like for some reason it thinks it's like less important. So it's good to just spend a few hours on your copy, whatever you want to do, go for a walk, grab some coffee, do something productive and healthy in the meantime and get back to it. And it just resets your brain. But I would say writer's block is number one.
One of my favorite copywriters of all time is Gary Halbert. And that's exactly what he would do is that he would write his stuff and then just steep himself in all the information and then go for a drive and then come back and re-edit it and change it. Cause there's two different mindsets, right? Like you're right on the money. And I find myself, I have like a mini basketball net. So if I get caught, I just go play and I go for a walk and I do and just let my mind. And it comes to me in the weirdest times. So I've had a client ask me to like, how do you think of these ideas? And I'm like, well, they come to me in the shower. They come to me here. It's not, there's no linear spot. They just kind of come to you, but you have to give yourself that space to let those ideas come. And everybody's got their own thing. So
exactly. I got to take a break in some way.
Yeah. Just give yourself some space. Let the idea come to you. Because I find if I'm like, oh, I need to, like, you're on a deadline, it's harder to do it, right? Then I will literally just take, sometimes I will literally, let's say I have 24 hours before a project is due, I will literally just take off half the day. I'll go do something totally different, clear my mind 100%, and then when I come down, I can crush it in 15 minutes. It's just like, it's nice, flows, and get stuff done. So we covered quite a bit in this episode so far. What is, and I always ask this super loaded question because everybody wants that one thing that they can do, but is there one thing that people can implement as far as copy is concerned into their business or into their agency to see real results?
I think if there's one thing that can do that is when you're writing copy, just always remember you're never selling a product or a service. You're selling an emotion every time. It doesn't matter if you're selling some kind of B2B service, a physical product like we were when we did e-commerce. You're never selling a product. You're selling an emotion. You know, there's always a deeper reason and primal reason that someone wants something. So for example, let's say you're a web design agency. People aren't really looking for a nice website. You know, they want sales, they want leads, they want a good funnel. They want their brand to look good to people. You know, maybe even deeper, they don't know how to do a website. They don't have the skills for it. They don't have the time. They're worrying about it. Their colleagues are telling them. So when you're writing content and copy, just always make sure you're bringing in emotion, talking about the experiences that the customer is having, their questions, their objections, the pain points and the struggles, because it always comes down to that. And at the end of the day, you can have that nice website, that nice funnel, but if you're not poking at the real reason why they're buying, you're not going to really remind them why they need it.
Definitely, man. I think that's perfect, man. How can the audience connect with you, Carmine? What's the best way to get a hold of you, buddy?
So the best way would be just through my personal website, carmenmastropiero.com. That's pretty hard to spell and to remember. So maybe if you want to put a link in the show notes or something, or
yes, we will definitely
even just copy and pasting my name into Google Docs. That's a good way to find me.
Yeah, definitely, man. We'll definitely post that on there. Thank you very much for coming on here. I know, guys, what Carmine has laid out here are some of the, I don't want to say easiest, but most effective ways for you to implement copy into your business. If you're not looking at copy, you're not looking at it from a logical and an emotional standpoint, you're leaving money on the table. Mm-hmm. I've literally, before we hopped onto this, before recording the show, I was like, I've literally just tweaked copy, like one word, and I've seen the return on investment skyrocket. So copy is extremely important. You have to take it serious, whether that's for yourself, your client's business, or whatever you're doing. And what's one thing that I like to do all the time is when I see something that gets my attention and gets me excited, I take a second and I look at that copy and I say, well, what is being said here? What emotions are being triggered? And then I try to use that again for myself somewhere else down the line. So Carmine, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you very much for coming on and dropping all of this value. go check out his website, okay, guys? And I'll put the link down below. Talk to you soon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, man. This is fun.
No worries, man. Thank you.